You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button on our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for June 14th, 2019. It's not safe for work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, where local TV weathermen sometimes make the national news, it's The Professional Left with Driftglass and Blue Gal.
That's right, and we are Team Joe Crane,
like
the rest of our community.
Pretty much everybody is Team Joe Crane.
Joe Crane is local TV weatherman.
Or was. There's a story there, Blue Gal.
Why don't you tell me the story, Driftglass?
It has to do with a local weatherman named Joe Crane, who is an institution and has been doing the weather here since I don't know when, a long, long time. And you run into him everywhere. He jogs in the neighborhood. You run into him at the store. Nice guy, affable guy, typical, jovial local weatherman. Everybody loves Joe Crane. He's also a meteorologist, so he takes his job pretty seriously. And as some of you might know, Sinclair Broadcasting has been gobbling up local television stations for years. And Sinclair Broadcasting is a far right wing propaganda tool that uses your local news to filter crackpot right wing messages into your local TV news. And they're also like hard asses on when it comes to corporate policy. Every policy is now set outside and they're just, they have to be. They're just dicks about every little thing they do, no matter how horrible it is. You got to toe the line. You can't speak against them. You can't say a word. It's all very, very corporate. So they have a policy that every time there's a breeze that ruffles the hair of any citizen in Springfield, that is a red alert. It's a code red, Blue Gal. It's a code red.
Code red is their trademarked thing for the weather, right?
And it was code and red. It's not just stupid. It's also dangerous because
it
at some
dangerous.
Point, it's like, is that a tornado? Or is there just, you know, a light sprinkle outside? And you don't know by watching the weather because this is a branded Sinclair Broadcasting local channel piece of terror to keep you glued to the set for the commercials.
Right, right.
And Joe Crane finally said, this is silly on the air. There's no, this is reckless and irresponsible. This is just silly. We shouldn't do this anymore.
Well, and he also pointed out that it was in contradiction to what the National Weather Service said.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have National Weather Service issuing alerts when there is a real need, real tornado.
And we do have those.
And we do have tornadoes in South Central Illinois.
And so, flooding. A lot of flooding.
And flooding, yes.
Yeah. So it's,
flash floods happen. Our street, you have lost a car to a flood.
I have. I lost a car to a flood.
Since you moved here. So this is serious. And he pointed out that, you know, the National Weather Service, the national guidelines for weather are not being followed in order to keep viewers. And it's wrong. And Joe Crane was not on the air anymore after that.
Right. He was not on the air for a few days. And it was like, well, we're not sure what's happening with him. No one's talking. No one's saying a word. We found out today or yesterday he was, quote unquote, let go.
Yep.
He was let go. And what that means is in some form, he was fired. Now, whether he was fired or they reached an arrangement to pay him out, to buy out his contract, because media people have to sign. Most people in the media have to sign a non-compete somewhere. So I think there's, you know, there was always a fear that he would just walk across the street or go to another station and take his viewers with him.
But the reason that this made national news, and it did make national news, is because of Sinclair. Because not only did local people and you know, little old lady viewers who like watching Joe Crane and the weather get upset about it, but local advertisers started pulling their ads from Channel 20 News.
And there's a wonderful local coffee joint, which you can go to anytime you want, called Graba Java. We go there frequently. They're locally owned. I the owner just sold, but I know the previous owner. She's a very nice lady. And they have a big picture. They have an oil painting that they do redo every week or so, hanging out in front of their shop. And it's usually something topical or funny or a little pun or something like that. And this week, it's a picture of Joe Crane holding a cup of coffee going, code red. And
hashtag, code red.
Hashtag Team Joe, hashtag Joe Crane, hashtag Save Joe, whatever it is. And I mean, we went to a little thing down here called Bites on the Boulevard. It's a little circle of food trucks, and there were a bunch of people out. It was a wonderful evening, cool and wonderful, and families were out. Just a wonderful neighborhood thing that I am also involved with in a very, very small way. And on the side of the food trucks, the hashtags were Fight Joe, Team Joe, Joe Crane, etc. Yeah. So it's down at the grassroots level. Like, you fucked with the wrong guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Sinclair's well, he does a lot of charity work, as a yes. lot of local news people sure do. You know, he sure would does. Go to hospitals. He would go mm-hmm. to do trivia night for fundraising for the animal shelter, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. He was a local personality that a lot of people know. So
Sinclair's used to rolling into town, stripping the place down, putting a bunch of, you know, 14-year-olds in charge, and just telling them, here's the party line, and you follow it, and just shut up and follow. If you don't like it, you can take it down the road. Mm-hmm. And they bit into the wrong guy's leg, man. Yeah. and all he said was the truth. He simply pointed out that this, as you said, is not the National Weather Service guideline. It conflicts with it, and it's just a bad idea. That was it. He didn't threaten to do anything. He didn't call for a strike, and that was enough to get him shit canned from Sinclair Broadcasting.
So we're going to switch gears and talk. We're Team Joe Crane. Let's just say
we
that.
Are. And, all the way.
We're going to switch gears and talk a little bit more about this open air market of food yes. trucks that yes. we go to. It's once a month in the summer.
It raises money for local food trucks, raises money for local schools.
Right. And we go and have a great time. They have tables out and food and sometimes music. And it's a great time. Mm-hmm. And backing up just a little bit, earlier that day, we had coffee with a listener, Steve, from Upstate.
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve. Thank you so much for buying us coffee and for your yeah. contribution and everything yes. else. We're so grateful that you reached out, and we're always glad to meet someone for coffee in Springfield.
I told Steve I felt like an alderman because he slid an envelope across the table.
And, cool, and it was contribution to the podcast, and we deeply appreciate it. So
we sure did. And just had a great visit with him.
We had a great visit with him. He's a baseball fan and a politics fan and listens to other podcasts and had a lot to say about local politics where he lives upstate. And he had some kind of insider information for us.
He did.
About a university that is north of us, where yeah. the area official in charge of the voting
the clerk, right? Yeah,
county that clerk, the voting uh-huh. guy, had hidden the voting place for a rather major university on mm-hmm. the fourth floor, back in the back of the building, mm-hmm. And there was a 90-minute wait to vote. Mm-hmm. He didn't have enough voting booths. He wasn't prepared. And
on purpose.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it was a Republican, and it was Rodney Davis's district. It's the same. Districts are gerrymandered here, but this one's really stretched out. And mm-hmm. And then he lied. He said, well, this is the only room that the university gave us to hold the vote. Well,
and the local activists who mm-hmm. who figure this out and are not going to make the same mistake next time were running students elsewhere. They were driving people to other polling
downtown
places.
Downtown to the county courthouse where anyone yeah. in the district can vote. You can always vote at the county courthouse.
Yeah.
And they were transporting students to mm-hmm. so they wouldn't have to wait in line for over an hour.
But the clerk, whose name we learned was Gordy.
Gordy.
Said, I have no power. The university president made me do this. I have no choice. I have no power, et cetera, et cetera. We learned this from a second source, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we did. Mm-hmm. It turns out that the president of the university mm-hmm. came down and said, no, you're lying. I gave you these rooms and these rooms, and you had this space, and you had this, and you decided, someone in your office decided to tuck it in the back. And so at the food truck thing later on that day, after we had talked to Steve about all of this, mm-hmm. we bumped into Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, who is our Democratic congressional candidate for 2020.
As happens at these boulevard little right. notches. You run into senators and potential congresspeople. Occasionally a governor will walk through. That's how it's sort of eye level.
Right. Because it's the state capital and there's right. this event. So it's a public uh-huh. event. So like a farmer's market only with food trucks. So we got to talk to her about this and said, you know, we talked to Steve earlier today.
Steve, and we did mention how's he doing?
Podcast listener, Steve, you know, and he had all this information and about how, you know, the voting was being obstructed in at a college campus.
They were cheating.
On a college campus, yes.
Right.
And she had a lot more information for us about that.
About other locations.
The location was not only was it tucked in the back of the building and created lines and there weren't enough voting booths, but it was inaccessible to handicapped people. Are you kidding me?
There was another university where they pulled the same stunt and I believe they did the same thing in Decatur.
And ridiculous. And Gordy lost his job.
Yeah.
I mean, and in the end, that's what happened. Gordy lost his job. And, you know, we have a Republican clerk here in Sangamon County, too.
Don.
But Don does his job.
Don plays by the rules.
He plays
really
by
does.
The rules, and he does his job. And it's not that complicated. You make sure that there are ballots. You make sure that the space is available, that it's handicapped accessible. And, you know, it's not complicated, but you can complicate it. And I think pointed out to me, as I said, after our food truck experience, I said, geez, you know, it's not just that Betsy Dirksen Londrigan has to travel around the district talking to people, have good policies, make sure her policies are clear and understandable,
good staff.
Arrange the media, you know, arrange to have an advance team when she goes there. She also has to factor in to her campaign Republicans cheating. She has to factor that in now.
That's just a given now. And it's true
all
over the country. This is going on. And this is the reason we're bringing this up is, A, we got to talk to these people who knew stuff, and it's kind of cool. But this is commonplace. This is what goes on in small towns, medium towns, Republican-held locations
all
over the country.
And so the outrage and shock that Donald Trump would say to George Stephanopoulos this week, well, you know, I probably would commit treason. You know, I probably would talk to him and not call the FBI. Why wouldn't I? You know, this is his party. This has been his party all along. And
they don't
care that he's cheating because everybody does it. And
everyone does it.
Everybody does it. and Democrats don't try to stop college students from voting. This is a both sides don't moment.
As everything really is.
As everything really is. And that's our point is that, and the flip side of that is if both sides do it is your go-to argument, you are enabling Republican cheating.
Yes, you are.
And you can tell that by that excuse being all over Fox News the day after the interview was released.
Well, and let's give people some good news. Mm-hmm. I mean, the good news that we heard from Betsy, who was clearly running again. She announced her campaign last month. I went to her kickoff event. It was like old home week. Yep. It's really good. She's really gotten good as a public person. Mm-hmm. She's always been a decent, kind person, but she's gotten good at being out in public and shaking people's hand and just working the crowd and being accessible to people. But she said, basically, they need to pick up 3 or 4 votes per precinct.
Per precinct. That's it.
Yeah. So when you worry about whether your vote counts or not, it sure as hell does. 3 to 4 votes per precinct would change the outcome of the election.
The party affiliation of the congressman in Illinois 13 to Democrat. Yep.
Yep.
So we've got our work cut out for us to do that. I don't pretend that it's going to be easy.
No.
It was one seat that did not flip in 2018. So, and part of it was Republicans cheating.
Yes. And they will fight like mad dogs to do it.
Yeah.
And you know that Gordy, whoever the hell he is not going to be unemployed for long. He's not going to go off
he
in the woods and think about.
He absolutely
did. You know, he's a committeeman somewhere. Yeah. He's got some job in some Republican organization because he did his job as a Republican soldier, which was make liberals cry.
Yep.
Make them lose.
And make Republicans win. And he did that. So.
At any cost. At any cost. And so that's why we're calling this podcast, our own working title, is Both Siderism End State.
The end. It is the end, at beginning and end, of the cover that is given to the Republican Party.
This is what happens when the disease of both siderism gets into the brain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When it becomes so automatic that I was reading an article today about how Scientists are finding microplastics in the deep ocean, little fragments of plastic way down deep. Plastic is everywhere now. Just like George Carlin predicted, frankly. Yeah. So go look that up. But both siderism is now everywhere. It's now everywhere. Every excuse of every person who doesn't, who either doesn't want to take a position on anything because it might be cause them to think something that they don't want to think or face something they don't want to face, or if they're Republican, if they want to lie about their motives and their methods and their history, et cetera, the go-to lie of everybody who is out to fuck us over is always going to be both sides do it. You can tell them by the fruit they bear. And this week, it's clear that it was everywhere. There was everyone, literally this week, everyone from Donald Trump to David Brooks was making some variation of the both sides do it, everybody does it, it's universally bad or corrupt or whatever, to justify some horrible opinion they had. And they do it casually, they do it offhandedly. This is just automatic. When Donald Trump is confronted with absolute overwhelming evidence that getting help, getting assistance, soliciting assistance from a foreign adversary, even a foreign ally, to win an election is something nobody else does. And it's completely unacceptable, and it's treasonous, and it's illegal. His response was, nah, everybody does it. Everybody does it. The reason I don't have to worry about being prosecuted is, A, I've corrupted the courts, and I have a Republican Congress, Republican Senate, so I'm never going to get caught or I'm never going to get convicted of anything. But the real reason is everyone does it. Everyone does it. The whole system's corrupt. Everyone's bad. Everything's broken. Where the hell do you think he learned that? He learned that from the New York Times.
Right.
He learned that from the Washington
Fox
Post.
News.
He learned that from Fox News, from the mainstream media and Fox News, letting every Republican atrocity off the hook by using that as an excuse. The reason Chuck Todd has a fucking job is because his job is to sit at a table and shrug his shoulders and say, well, you know how both sides are. Back when, you probably remember this, Blue Gal, when the Southern Avenger was working on Trump's campaign, an out-and-out, blatant, overt racist was running Donald Trump's campaign or had a position of authority in his campaign. He should have been within a million miles of any presidential campaign, but he was out there as a member of the team. And so you have, on the one side, someone employing an out-and-proud racist as a senior member of their team. On the other side, you have Hillary Clinton saying, hey, look, they're employing a racist on their team. And you have in the middle Chuck Todd going, man, both sides race to the bottom. Isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame how both sides do this? And at that point, somebody should have really just punched him in the nuts hard enough to launch him into space. But they didn't, because that's his job. His job is to enable these kind of monsters, because Chuck Todd is in the comforting the viewer business. Mm-hmm. He's not in the news business. And viewers don't want to hear that one party is generating monsters, is creating beasts, is just spewing them all over the landscape, is wrecking everything they touch. And the other one are the firemen who are putting it out. Viewers, the people, especially people who don't want to get involved in politics at all, don't want to hear that. So Chuck Todd's job is to sit in the middle of this squalor and blame both sides, for the arsonists and the firemen, for the fire. And that's why they pay him. That's why they paid David Gregory before him. Whoever they replace him with will go on doing the same job. And that's what I mean by it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And the only people who, as far as I can tell, are pushing back against this monstrous lie are the liberals, are the, you know, your local cornfield resistance podcast.
So I'm dying to hear, Driftglass, because you teased it before we started recording.
I did.
What are the two words David Brooks should never say?
The two words. Well, here's a joke for you, honey.
Okay.
How is George W. Bush's Iraqi clusterfuck like the institution of marriage? There are two subjects about which David Brooks should not say one more fucking word for the rest of his life.
The Iraq War.
David Brooks decided he'd write a column today about how he wants to lecture Americans about how they're abdicating their foreign policy responsibilities in the country. Now, I suggested that the New York Times should have put a big loud red alert siren in the middle of the building that went off anytime anyone saw David Brooks typing the word marriage or Iraq in his computer. Because there are two things that David Brooks should never, ever fucking talk about. The hallowed institution of marriage and how important fidelity is, and which he still does after he dumped his first wife, cheated on her, and took up with a much, much younger assistant. I don't care if you do that. I care deeply that you moralize about it. I care deeply that you turn your midlife crisis into some sort of spiritual journey that you're on. Fuck you. Secondly, it really bothers me when David Brooks starts talking about the Iraq War in some like a third person.
That he never had anything to say about it at the time, right?
No, never had anything to do with it. And I say in my little post here, and the second thing they should have done was I hire an intern or two or three to body tackle him.
Yeah.
Anytime he started, you know, move towards the typewriter. You know what I think I'll do? I think I need to write about Iraq today. Boom, down he goes. But the way that David Brooks writes about foreign policy and Iraq, now that he's super humble, sort of Christian midlife crisis guy, is he writes about it as one would cyber-stalk an ex-girlfriend, you know, by pretending that he is completely some other person.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's not the guy who wrote for the Weekly Standard. He's not the guy who built his career slandering liberals. He's not the guy who pimped the Iraq War relentlessly in the New York Times. It built his brand doing that. Now, he just wants to sit and rap with the kids about foreign policy because, man, he gets where you're coming from. He really does. He gets it. And here are three quotes from the article. They're just sentence fragments. We need a leader who can grapple with failures like Iraq. America's leaders made some terrible mistakes, parentheses, Vietnam and Iraq. After Iraq and other debacles, writes David Brooks as he opens up another paragraph.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the title of my post, Iraq and Other Debacles. And the reason he's doing this is he doesn't want you to remember that he was one of the chief cheerleaders for the catastrophe that now he's looking at sort of like, where did this come from? Well, it certainly spoiled the whole generation on the idea of hopping on the gunboats and going up the Yangtze River to bring, you know, democracy to the heathens,
right,
which is what David Brooks really wants to do. So, but there's a second beautiful moment in this article because he uses his girlfriend's cyber-stalking technology that I was never there. The Iraq War is just something that happened a long time ago. Who knows who started? Who can blame us? But we're all kind of bitter about it. And we can understand that, right, kids? Is that, you know who's responsible for the failure of American foreign policy?
Who?
Blue gal. Both sides.
I knew it. I knew it back in my head. I knew that.
There are two types of low-trust voters. One on the right. On the right, there are the Trumpian American firsters who want to cut immigration and break alliances.
Mm-hmm.
On the left, there are the new doves. And that's when I stopped reading. Because that's when I was like, I need the home phone number of the Sulzberger family, because I need to know right now how the fuck this asshole still has a job. How the hell does David Brooks, Iraq War pimp, get away with not just bringing the Iraq War out to talk about foreign policy as if he were never there, had nothing to do with it, but use it as a lever to get into his favorite argument, which is, you know, both sides are equally wrong, Blue Gal. You know, that's the problem with our foreign policy. Both sides have a misunderstanding of America's role in the world. Who has a real good understanding? Well, David Brooks does.
He makes upper middle class white men feel like intellectuals about politics.
That's my problem. I'm not upper middle class enough.
No, you're not. You're a dirty hippie, so it's too bad. Hey, did you hear what Kayleigh McEnany said today? Donald Trump campaign spokesblonde?
I did not.
Kayleigh McEnany? CBS News asked her about receiving damaging information on political opponents provided by foreign governments. And, you know, would you turn it down or would you call the FBI or what would you do? And Kayleigh McEnany, spokesperson for the Trump campaign, said that this damaging information and what to do about it would be vetted on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm.
If it came with a case of vodka, because we'd do it. If it didn't,
should be evaluated on a case-by-case basis. Is it worth to do the treason or not? What do you say, Don Jr.?
You got
to
look in the envelope and see how much money's in it, Blue Gal. You know, you got to look because you don't know. It might be a lot of money.
Does the country have a Trump hotel that Donald wants to build there?
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll take it.
Does it?
If there's a hotel property that we're looking at, then sure, we'll take it. Mm-hmm. Yes. So case-by-case basis, thank you, Kayleigh McEnany, and thank you. That came from 10 Grain at Mock Paper Scissors that came to my attention.
The question then arises yet again, why is Rick Santorum? Why are any of these people? Why? And this is where I fail our listeners, because I don't have Jeff Zucker's home phone.
No, I know.
I can't blow in a call to Jeffy and say, Jeff, come on for coffee. Come on to Grab a Java.
I don't have a problem with elected officials or people that the campaigns have chosen to be spokespeople for the campaign being on television, because it's important that I hear that Kayleigh McEnany's campaign, the campaign that she works for, is going to do treason on a case by case basis.
Yes.
That's news. That's important. I need to know that.
Mm-hmm.
The public needs to know that. I have a problem when David Brooks is on my TV, Chuck Todd is on my TV, people who are clearly putting fingers on the scale of what I know, what I hear and what I don't hear, and are doing so in a biased way that has nothing to do. They've been given this power by a corporate entity that is my access to information. That's the information I need to go dig further than that. Mm-hmm. And most people don't, you know, most people get their news when they get news at an airport and it's Fox News overhead on a TV screen.
Right. Or CNN.
You know, that really is.
Yeah.
People are mad. We talked about this before when a tornado warning interrupts The Bachelorette. That really is where a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they got upset about Joe Crane.
Yeah.
Because you watch the local news for the weather. It's important to get good, accurate weather information for your life. And people tune in for that, which is why Sinclair bought those stations and runs that half hour of TV, because they have eyeballs for the weather and the local sports. That's what people want to know. So then you can get in between those two minutes hate, right?
Boris Epstein going, you know, Donald Trump, by the way, completely aside, I don't mean to jump tracks. I was listening to local radio today. And because I do that sometimes.
Is it Sinclair station?
No. This is WMAY. This is radio, local radio.
Okay.
And they were running ads. They were running ads for Newsmax television.
Oh, my God.
Newsmax television, where you can get all the updates on President Trump. That's what they're advertising. They're not advertising. It's the tagline is real news for real people. You can get but the only thing they're selling is all the updates on President Trump. And they'll bring to you everyone from Bill O'Reilly to Mark Levin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is where we live.
Yeah.
This is what it comes through on local television and local radio. And local radio is advertising, here are all your cable options. If you just sort through into the 50 or 60th digit above normal programming, you'll find Newsmax television, where essentially if Fox News isn't fucking crazy enough for you, if you need that needle directly into your carotid artery, we'll give it to you.
And there's money to put that on the air.
There is money to put that on the air. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are going to do a little bit of our news roundup now. Because there's stuff there that I know you want to talk about.
Oh, well, I do want to mention that I did a big post this week about Michael Gerson. So, yes, Michael Gerson is every bit as bad as David Brooks.
You took about 4 days to write it, and I wasn't going to read it because I thought, why did I need to read about Michael Gerson? And then I read it, and it's really good. And I only read it because Charlie Pierce recommended that I read it.
Yeah, I know. So. I know. That's my life now. My wife doesn't read anything I write unless Charlie Pierce says, read it. Read it, asshole. I went back a long, long time, and I mentioned this last week. It clocks in at over 16,000 words.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it is quotes from Michael Gerson begging us to practice civility.
Right. And you can really – when you see these people operate over a long period of time, like David Brooks, you can see how they never stop being themselves.
Yeah.
They have three notes they play, and they play them no matter what. Rain or shine, hell or high water, whoever is in the White House, it's always, always, always. The reason that Donald Trump was going to get elected was Obamacare.
Yeah.
This time, the reason Donald Trump will be elected is abortion.
Yeah.
Goddamn liberals. It's always the liberals' fault. It's always their failure. It's always we drove them into the arms of Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's always both sides, or it's always a lecture on civility. And then we get back to abortion and contraception and the Pope and whatnot. But he's a terrible, terrible writer, first of all. And his opinions are shit.
Yeah.
And he would be as infamous as David Brooks if he weren't even more of a whiny little milquetoast than David Brooks is. he really is sort of like, okay, David Brooks is on vacation. We can't get so-and-so. We can't get so-and-so. How about Gerson? Let's get Gerson. He's got little beady eyes and glasses.
Oh, and Michael Gerson, isn't he also syndicated in our local paper from time to time?
Oh, he is. Yeah. He's Washington Post. He's Washington Post guy. And he flies under the radar because he does that kind of, I'm a very Christian person. And he notes, evangelicals really need to stand up to this Trump fella. And if only that. And he's another one who, the day after the election, was just stunned that the Republican Party he has served. This is a Bush speechwriter. This is the guy who invented the mushroom cloud analogy for the WMD that wasn't there. This is a guy who's an analyst, a senior advisor to the Bush administration. This is a guy who has a long, really fucking infamous record of being wrong about everything. And there he sits, and there really is a club. This club of mostly white men, although there's your Peggy Noonan in there as well, who've been wrong about everything and can never be fired. And it isn't just one guy. There is a cohort of these people. And the reason our politics is fucked is because these are the people that other people take seriously because they have the Washington Post banner or the New York Times banner over their heads.
I wonder about that, though. I wonder if that's why our politics is fucked.
Well, this is why the middle ground is a mess.
I'm pushing back on this because I really wonder what percentage of people who wind up dragging their asses to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to diminish. I believe in voting. I hope everyone that listens to us votes. But there's, what percentage of people didn't vote in 2016? It was a lot.
It was huge.
And so the people that drag their butts to the polls, how many of them are influenced by David Brooks says or what Michael Gerson says?
I mean the opposite. I mean the reason that people sit elections out, the reason they stay away from the polls, the reason they shrug their shoulders and say, Hillary, Donald Trump, it's the news, who cares? There's no difference between the two. The reason people have walked away from their civic responsibilities and sit elections out and go and flip a fucking coin because it doesn't really matter is because these assholes have spent 20 years in positions of real actual authority telling very serious people, college presidents, CEOs, people who run, people who run big enterprises, people who do TED Talks, people who, the college lecture tour, I've been repeating to them over and over again, both sides do it. Both sides are equally bad. There's no difference between the two sides. It's the extremes on both sides. That, I think, is what fucked up our politics. Because that's a much bigger lie than any lie Donald Trump tells on any given day.
Right. And it's a much more pervasive lie. You're right.
It's much more clear that it is a lie. And so the fact that the Sulzberg family and Fred Hyatt over at the Washington Post continue to put these liars on their op-ed page and just shrug it off like, well, there's a lot of people out there who want to believe this shit. And they're wealthy and they have influence and this is what they want to believe. And this is the fantasy world they live in. And so do we. And besides, whoever the hell gets elected, no one's coming for me. The truck is not going to come up to my door and take my kids away.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really fucking matter.
Right.
There's a bunch of people out there who want to be reassured that everyone is equally corrupt and everything is equally bad. And politics is awful. And government sucks. And we're in the business of telling them that they're right. Yep. Just the same way that Fox News is in the business of telling bigots and imbeciles that brown people and liberals are the source of all their problems.
Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Yep. Well, and this comes down as well to a Wall Street Journal article that I picked up at the coffee shop when we saw Steve. and there was another example. Headlines are a big problem. If there's a good article at Media Matters about how to fix headlines so that you're not just repeating Trump talking points in your headline and realizing that headlines are a lot of what the only thing people read when they're scrolling through their phones and they get a good dose of Trumpism from headlines. I'm sorry to use the word Trumpism, but repeating Donald Trump's talking points to people who are scrolling in their phones, it happens. And you may not intend it for it to happen that way, but it happens all the time. There was a Wall Street Journal article that caught my attention, which said AMA opposes Medicare for All.
Yes, yes.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be a big problem because if doctors really object to Medicare for All and there's a pushback from doctors, that could be a problem for passage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read the article, and the article was about how the board of the AMA opposed Medicare for All. And that at the AMA meeting, there were huge numbers of doctors and medical students and attendees in general who were furious with the board of the AMA for opposing Medicare for All, because you get patients who have not come to a doctor for 3 years because they can't afford their medication, mm-hmm. they can't afford a copay, and doctors wind up with much sicker patients because of a lack of access to care. So the article was really should have been entitled protesters at AMA yes. meeting stand up for Medicare for All, because that's what the article was about. The other one that came out today was Kansas Supreme Court finds school funding unconstitutional. Well, that got my attention. What
golly,
the hell?
Golly.
And it turns out that the Supreme Court of Kansas, which, Kansas has been through a lot with Sam Brownback deciding to cut taxes massively for millionaires.
Destroy the state.
Corporation, yeah. And he destroyed his state and he destroyed public education in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And they now have a woman Democratic governor there to clean up what the Republican Party and Sam Brownback did to the state.
Yep.
And the Supreme Court found that all of the cuts to schools that were done were unconstitutional, that the state has an obligation, a constitutional obligation, to provide school funding.
Wait a minute. Separate but not equal is not the law of the land in Kansas?
Right,
really?
Right. No. And they have an obligation to keep up with inflation. There's a lot of little details about how are we going to do inflationary spending and what are we going to do,
yeah.
so forth and so on. But the point was, the Supreme Court of Kansas said, okay, you've come up with this plan to fund schools. We are going to okay this plan. And we are going to stay in charge of the case. In other words, we don't trust Republicans in the state house.
No, you can't. You can't.
To continue to do the right thing when they have been told by us today that this budget that they just proposed is okay, that it is in keeping with the Constitution. We are going to still be in charge of mandating what school funding will be. That's not finding school funding unconstitutional. That is saying,
No,
we know that you will fuck it up if we aren't watching you. Mm-hmm. And so we are going to keep an aspect of accountability. The school funding, you will be accountable to the Supreme Court of the state to make sure that you do it right.
Well, and you remember that one of the first thing John Roberts did when he got on the Supreme Court, they started nullifying the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, right.
Because there's no more racism and everything is fine now.
Right.
We can get, and immediately, all the Republican states had these plans sitting ready to go.
Former Confederate states said, we can just start cutting people from the voting rolls. Right.
Right. But they were teed up and ready to go.
Right.
If you take your foot off their throat for a second,
exactly.
They will cheat and lie and cheat and lie because they know that that's the only way they hang on to power. So it is something that you just have to go into 2020 knowing that they'll be cheating every inch of the way. And Chuck Todd will be sitting there going, why are both sides being so mean? Why are they being so bad?
Why is there such a mess in Washington, Driftglass?
It's Washington. The Washington politicians. But you know who's going to fix that? The American people.
The American people. Well, John Stewart learned a little bit about that this week.
Yeah, he did.
Why don't you tell us about John Stewart?
John Stewart did a good thing, a mighty good thing. He went to Congress and sat in front of a largely empty subcommittee and yelled at them for not taking the funding of 9/11 first responders seriously enough to make it a permanent fund, a permanent rotating fund, I believe, revolving fund, so that it never runs out of money. He used the staging of a nearly empty room to dress down the people and say, Congress has failed and you should be here and this is a shame. And it was great. It was the wrong room and the wrong crowd. I mean, literally, this was not the place to do this. And literally, it's not the Congress that's doing this. It is literally Republicans who are
doing this.
And John Stewart he reverted for a time there back to remember that Rally for Sanity?
Rally for Sanity, yes.
When he was competing with Glenn Beck mm-hmm. for who can throw the biggest rally. But when he got 800 million people to Washington, it was a flop. because he kept saying, can we get back to the time and traffic where you go and then you go and then you go and left and right? And he desperately, desperately wanted it to be both sides. Because as a comedian,
yep,
saying that it's all this, all these fuckers over on the right, these are the fucking people who are fucking up your country. That is not good for your audience.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sure that half the people in this country or more aren't going to watch your show. And so Jon Stewart held on to this ludicrous idea that it was both sides. And if we just all got reasonable, until he was slapped in the face once too often,
yeah,
by the Republican Party. And at some point he said, fuck it, it's Republicans. Let's quit pretending. Let's quit pretending otherwise. I'm not going to do this whole, let's all take turns and get along like we used to, even though that never was the case. It really is the Republican Party. And he reverted to his old self, where he wants to blame a big faceless institution rather than Mitch McConnell.
Right.
Because the problem with this funding is Mitch McConnell. And so if you want to address people, the person who's standing in the way of this, go to Mitch McConnell's office. But Mitch McConnell's office isn't a big room that's empty. That's a good stage for this. So I really appreciate what he did. I agree with him 100%.
Yeah, the cameras were running on him, yeah, with 9/11 first responders behind him. That was the place.
There's no issue. Right. With what he's trying to do, I agree with 100%. If I were king of the world, I'd wave a magic wand and make it happen. And I even agree with his sense of stagecraft.
Yeah.
That an empty room full of a few Congress people and a whole bunch of 9/11 first responders was a perfect venue to have this very heartfelt and honest and direct speech about their nobility versus the cravenness of Congress. Yeah. I completely get that. He just was yelling at the wrong person. You know, it did remind me a little bit of that scene from what was it? The Grapes of Wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're coming to dispossess the guy off the farm. And the farmer comes out with a shotgun. And the sheriff's like, well, you can shoot me, but they're going to send somebody else. And well, what about them? Well, that guy is beholden to a guy in Kansas City. What about him? Well, he's beholden to a banker in New York City. Well, then who the hell do I shoot? And the sheriff says to the farmer, he's kicking off his land, brother, when you figure it out, you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
He wants it to be a big institutional failure, and it is, but the reason the institution is failing is because of one political party. And he does a disservice to the truth, which I know he honors, by pretending otherwise. And he was corrected rather publicly by a number of people.
Yep.
And it's pretty clear that that message was received. So, but that's what happened this week, and, you know, more power to him. The more people like that who get into the headlines, get into the spotlight, and really do bring attention to issues like this, the better.
Yeah.
It just bothers me. David Hogg this week, who an anti-gun activist, mass
a
shooting.
Victim of a mass a victim. Shooting in, of the mass shooting in Florida.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Was on Twitter saying both parties are to blame. And it just broke my heart because it's like, I know you're supposed to say that. I know saying that is what gets you. It just killed me because it isn't both parties.
Farewell, Sarah Sanders.
Yes, yes.
We hardly knew ye. Oh, wait, we totally knew you.
We totally knew you.
And,
yes, she
and
is.
I'm really worried because Diamond and Silk are going to have a cage match to decide who replaces her.
Well, they'll just both do it. Because well, Sarah Sanders quit to spend more time lying to her family.
Yeah.
And one of that duo will lie. The other one will stand next to her and go, mm-hmm. Because that's what they do. That's mm-hmm. that's the
yep.
whole act.
Yep. That's their act. So
this week, Donald Trump also admitted he wanted to hear from foreign governments with damaging information about his political opponents. He claimed there isn't anything wrong listening to a foreign government if they contacted him, and said, we have information on your opponent. So, you know,
case by case basis, based on whether
right.
he has a hotel property he wants to promote in your country.
Well,
okay.
Well, then he turned right around after it turned out that a lot of people called him up and said, you just admitted to a desire to solicit treason and espionage on national television. He said, no, what I meant to say was, of course I should immediately call the FBI about these calls and meetings, question mark. How ridiculous. Then he argued that his comments were taken out of context, claiming that his, quote, full answer is rarely played by the fake news media and that, quote, they purposely leave out the part that matters.
Well, the part that matters, Driftglass, is that his son, Don Jr., was testifying behind closed doors that day. to clear up some matters that the House Intelligence Committee had with his previous testimony.
Yes, so, just a few odds and
ends. And Don Jr. is the one who really broke the law blatantly, meeting with Russians to talk about dirt on Hillary, and there is a email trail pointing to him. Moving on. Republicans in the Senate blocked an effort to pass a bill that would require campaigns to tell the FBI about any offers of foreign assistance they receive. Mm-hmm. One of my least favorite members of Congress, Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, baby parts Blackburn, said the legislation's reporting requirements were overbroad and complained that it would require campaigns to worry about disclosures at so many different levels.
Yeah.
So she blocked it.
Right. A Republican blocked an attempt to protect our elections from foreign interference because that's what they do.
And they picked a senator who is not up for re-election until 2024 to block that piece of legislation.
And who is universally hated outside the Confederacy.
Right.
Things have gotten so bad that the FEC chairwoman, Ellen Weintraub, had to come out and say that, quote, "I forgot armed robbery was illegal," was a Steve Martin comedy bit and not a defense. So she said, and I quote, "Let me make something 100% clear to the American public and anyone running for public office. It is illegal for any person to solicit, accept, or receive anything of value from a foreign national in connection with a U.S. election. This is not a novel concept."
And I tweeted back to her, "Great. Now do hush money to a porn star."
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's in page two. Yeah, that's in the part two of the Mueller report.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The owner of one of the Japanese oil tankers that was attacked in the Strait of Hormuz says the U.S. is wrong about the attack, contradicting claims made without evidence by Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo.
Yeah, this is one of those things where you really need your government not to lie to you. And when the guy in charge of the government is a pathological liar, has employed nothing but pathological liars to work for him, you have no reason to take him at his word.
Code red.
A federal watchdog agency recommended that Kellyanne Conway, you remember her, immediately be removed from service, citing repeated violations of the Hatch Act, which prohibits federal employees from engaging in political activity on their office roles. Trump said he won't fire her because, quote, "It looks to me like they're trying to take away her right of free speech, and that's just not fair."
You know what's not fair? Having taxpayers pay her salary. That's what's not fair.
Yeah. There's a whole lot on my list that's not fair. That's near the top.
Trump still owes hundreds of thousands of dollars in security fees to at least 10 U.S. cities. Mm-hmm. The Trump campaign has failed to reimburse the cities for public safety costs associated with his presidential and campaign rallies. Mm-hmm. The total bill currently sits at $841,219. And includes invoices that date back to before Trump was elected.
I included this because local Republicans here used to just bitch that the Obama campaign still owed the police department some few thousand dollars for the extra protection they provided during his campaign. And even though I believe that money was eventually paid, they wouldn't fucking let it go. That was their evidence that Barack Obama just was corrupt out of the box, and he just did look down at the nose of working people. And I heard it 1,000 times at diners here and at meetings here. The Obama campaign, you bunch of criminals, they're ripping us off. Like, and you could put this, tie it to a brick, slam it on the table. Same people who said that would just roll their eyes and say, "Well, you know, both sides do it."
Both sides, yeah. Kamala Harris, if elected, said her Justice Department would have no choice but to prosecute Trump after his term of office.
Donald Trump ordered his aides to lie about the results of his campaign's internal polling efforts in key battleground states. Then he turned around and personally lied about the polls again, claiming that he is, quote, "winning in every single state we polled."
Romney's going to win in a landslide, Driftglass.
Going to crush. It's going to be amazing. You're going to be stunned.
Mitch McConnell, the carbuncle on the ass of democracy, laughed off reports that his wife, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, helped steer federal funding to his home state of Kentucky.
Yeah. As of today, at least 22 foreign governments have spent money at Trump Organization properties. This includes hosting events at a Trump property, rented or purchased property in buildings or communities owned by the Trump businesses, staying at Trump properties and attending parties or gatherings at Trump properties. Each one of these is a separate impeachable offense of the Emoluments Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi said impeachment is not off the table, but that the Democratic caucus is not even close to moving forward with impeaching Trump. Again, I think she's just waiting until 2020. I really do. I think she wants it on TV all summer next year.
Let me put it this way. If that's the reason, fine. But that's the only reason that
is acceptable. I agree.
That's the only thing acceptable.
Yep.
Justin Amash, you might have heard, quit the House Freedom Caucus when he discovered it was full of Republicans.
and
shocked him.
You know, again, this is David Brooks syndrome of don't treat him like a hero.
No.
He's just a real true believer in libertarianism and wants to cut funding for everything and is betrayed by Republicans who pass tax cuts for billionaires, and he doesn't agree with that. So,
right.
And he read the Mueller report and sees what is written there. So good for him for that. Three Republican former heads of the EPA accused the agency's current leadership of taking a catastrophic approach to climate change by undermining the science. Trump also blocked a State Department intelligence agency from submitting written testimony that human-caused climate change is possibly catastrophic to national security. And you know who else gave a very good speech this week? Pete Buttigieg gave a very good speech this week on national security, and a big chunk of it was climate change. I did want to mention that. It was a good speech. The Trump administration rejected requests from U.S. embassies to fly the Rainbow Pride flag on embassy flagpoles during Pride Month.
Of course they did. And lastly, but not leastly, the symbolic oak tree that Emmanuel Macron gave to Trump last year has died. Died of shame, I would assume.
Died of shame. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week's internet kitty is Princess. Princess is a lovely rescue kitty. She's a Siamese. She has beautiful blue eyes. She's very chatty. And she does not care who is on any debate stage because all stages belong to her. And of course, Princess demands freshly poured cat food. Whether you buy Pet Store Perfection or Dollar Store Dreck, your cat will sit on the kitchen floor and demand that the cat food they eat is only freshly poured. The fake sponsor of this podcast. Freshly poured, freshly poured. Oh, my Lord, it's freshly poured. You can visit Princess at our Facebook page and website, and you can send your internet kitty or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service. Go Postal Unions! Letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. Our PayPal, postal address information, GoFundMe, both sides don't bumper stickers and t-shirts.
Don't forget.
All of them are there at proleftpod.com. And I really think those both sides don't t-shirts are going to be a big thing this year. I do.
They don't make them in my size. Ironically, the bling we have, I have to wear a bunch of bumper stickers all pasted together on my body because t-shirts just don't come in my size anymore.
He's got a very long trunk, Driftglass does.
I do.
He needs a long t-shirt. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
But anyway, I think the both sides don't bumper stickers and the both sides don't slogan and hashtag on Twitter are going to be a big deal this year.
I'm going to just be on Twitter 20 hours a day, all day. Everything
is going to be both sides don't.
Everything is going to be done. I'm going to personally raise that thing up.
Bring that up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Please share our show on social media. And thank you so much for doing that. Hey, Driftglass, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Blue Gal, the internet kitties think Joe Crane was screwed.
Let's think about living. Think about living. Let's think about loving. Think about loving. Let's think about the hooping and the hopping and the bopping and the loving, lovey-dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with a switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018, DGBG Productions Incorporated.